Welcome into episode 86 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. We just got off with our guest for this episode, Chico Carter Jr., now with South Carolina men's basketball. Danny, first off, Chico is a talent, to say the least, on the court. But off the court, getting to talk to him, hearing his journey. I actually played with him in high school, EAU, my ninth grade year. So, you know, he's definitely on to bigger and better things. But he's got a heck of a journey. It was so fun talking to him.
Man, it was. And one thing that always intrigues me talking to different athletes from different areas and sports is what are kind of some of the common denominators of successful athletes. I take a little bit of this from one of my favorite podcasts to listen to, Tim Ferriss, who he does the same thing. He just tries to talk to successful people and find the common factors. And one thing that's interesting and that people are going to hear is he just eats, sleeps, and breathes the game of basketball. That's how you have to be. If you want to be a successful athlete, you got to be locked in. You got to be focused. You got to love it. You got to love the competition, love the grind. You know, even him talking about the transition to college, you know, he loves it. The tough times, you know, they make a man. So I'm excited to see what he does, excited to see the flash, the highlights, and I'm excited to see his sneaker collection grow, because we know that NIL money, that's nice. So we're gonna see that collection grow even better than it is. And for those that don't follow, please go follow Chico on Instagram. We'll have it in the bio, the information. You'll be able to see where you can find him. Yeah, special talent, man. Can't wait to see what he's up to this coming year.
I know we closed and I teased saying that I have to get you down to Columbia. You actually have come down to Columbia, so I didn't mean to rag on you there, but we need to go check out a game at Colonial Life. Chico is going to be very fun to watch for years to come. But without further ado, let's get right into our conversation with Chico Carter Jr. All right, for episode 86 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie, very special guest today. Haven't had a guest in a while, but this one should live up to it. New South Carolina men's basketball point guard, Chico Carter. Chico, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you.
What's up, man? Nice. Glad to be on the podcast, man.
So for those that don't know, real quick, obviously Chico is now playing, of course, at South Carolina, but way back when, Chico and I played on the same AAU team when I was in ninth grade, and you played up, and we'll get into it too, but that backcourt of you and Deuce Dean, now looking to see where you guys are, it's pretty crazy. Time's flown, man. Time's flown.
Yeah, me and Deuce have been playing since we was 5 years old. Now we both at the collegiate level, and we're both making a name for ourselves.
So let's get into it. Obviously, going to Cardinal Newman, leaving the imprint you made there. Talk to me about your high school career, and then what, you know, I guess stops along your improvement, you know, when you really started to progress and then get closer to college. But walk me through Cardinal Newman and what that was like for you.
Right. First, I went to public school, middle school, and I made the change to private school and high school for a better education and a good basketball aspect that they had going at Cardinal Newman. I played varsity all 4 years at Cardinal Newman. My personal trainer that I had got the assistant coaching job there, so that was a plus for me that we already had that relationship. He coached me as well. I went to a state championship my 10th grade year, but I came up short. Then my junior year, I went back to the playoffs and got knocked out second round. That was pretty tough. And then my senior year, I got the job done and went out with a state championship. I had some nice accolades. I left my mark there at Cardinal Newman. I'm all-time leading scorer. Surpassed 1,000 point club. A lot of good stuff like that. I had a lot of MVPs at tournaments. I had some all-star game appearances and stuff like that. So overall, Cardinal Newman, basketball still is a great place to go for a basketball school and a great education. And yeah, overall, it's just a great experience.
Nice. Yeah, the resume is loaded for sure. There's no question about that. But at Cardinal Newman, I mean, you played with so many high quality guys. Can you talk about that and what that was like for you in your game and what your relationship is with those guys now?
Right. I was surrounded by some good players. Christian Jones was one of them. He plays at Stetson University now. My backcourt mate for my run in the state championship, Josh Beal, he plays at Clemson University now. Malik Tucker, he played at Belmont Abbey University. So yeah, we had a lot. I know my whole senior class, we had four seniors and all of us played at the collegiate level. So that was good to see all my guys play at the collegiate level after it was done at Cardinal.
So transitioning from, I guess maybe Daniel will get into the transition more, but at Cardinal Newman at the high school level, getting into college, like you mentioned, what was a moment where you sat back and realized, you know, maybe a turning point, like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this big rather than just barely getting there. You really took it upon yourself to improve, but take me back then to see, you know, to say what was a moment where you really figured out that, okay, this is big time now.
Yeah, so it's a funny story. Me and my dad sat down and chopped it up. He wanted me to play football. So I played football my freshman, sophomore year. Well, after freshman year, I was like, I don't know if I like this, dad, or whatever. And I was like, as soon as I get a basketball scholarship, any school that offers me the scholarship, I'm quitting football and I'm mainly focusing on basketball because, like, the wear and tear of my body transitioning from football to basketball is just hard. So, like, basketball season started in November, so I wasn't really on my game until like January. And after then, it was like too late. So my 10th grade summer, I got an offer from Hampton University, my first offer. And I was like, now I'm putting the football down. And then ever since then, I was really just solely locked in on basketball, just working out every day, working out in the mornings, working out with my dad, practice, all that stuff. And I was really, when I put my head down, I was like, yeah, I'm really going to lock in on this basketball.
And Chico, Danny here, thanks for coming on again. You have an interesting path because I don't think a lot of people have the experience of having a successful high school career, transitioning into maybe a little bit of a smaller program, and then transitioning into a big Power Five program. Take me through that transition a little bit of kind of what was it like going through all those different phases and what were kind of the differences for you, which maybe made you fit in somewhere a little better than other places. What was that transition like through all of those phases?
Right. Coming out of high school, I had a list of offers that I could have chosen. And really Murray State was at the time the best fit for me, for school, for basketball. When I went on my visit, I fell in love with the campus. I fell in love with the coaching staff. The players I was already there had a good – even just from that weekend, I had a good relationship from there. Just going up there for my official visit, made that decision. You know, when I got to Murray, like, it's a great transition from high school to college. You're on a time schedule. You just can't go to school, go to practice, and go home. Like, you got classes, you got weights, conditioning, film. You got a lot of different stuff, a lot of different aspects that go into the basketball. And at my time there, I definitely learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my game. True freshman, you're playing with older seniors and juniors and stuff that's already solidified at the collegiate level. So that taught me a lot. Like I said, I learned a lot about myself through different aspects of basketball, just like stuff like that. And then stayed there for 2 years. And then I evaluated my whole situation, the things that were going there and other opportunities that I could have from the numbers that I had at Murray State. And then I entered my name in the transfer portal. And then with the transfer portal, it's like recruiting all over again. But it's a quicker place recruitment because, like, this year with the new rule with the transfers being able to play right away, there's a lot of people in the transfer portal. So, like, it was – like, coaches was trying to get players in. Players was leaving, so coaches were trying to get players in. So when I entered the transfer portal when my name went live on NCAA, I got a lot of calls, got a lot of texts. I got a lot of options to go from Murray State. And some Power Five schools started contacting me. I know, like you said, like Murray State, it was a lower level school. So that's a big jump to the SEC, ACC, like Power Five schools and stuff like that. So I had schools like South Carolina, NC State, Boston College, Georgia, a lot of Power Five schools, and I made a decision to come to South Carolina. Out of all those choices that I had, I picked South Carolina because, I mean, I'm a Columbia guy. It's right in my backyard. My parents don't have to get on a flight to come see me like they did at Murray State, so that's convenient for them. I actually played with Brandon Martin, Frank Martin's son in high school, his teammates. So I had a relationship with him and Coach Martin beforehand. And just the way South Carolina plays, tonight, good defensive team, gets out and run, lets their players play. And I feel like that fits my game a lot. So there's a lot of different aspects that that fit me well to make me choose the University of South Carolina.
And such an awesome journey for you. And, you know, now, of course, South Carolina. But going back to when you got to Murray State and, you know, of course, now it's South Carolina.
Oh, there it is. And I'm talking, or is just mine fuzzy also?
Nah, I can hear you. You're good.
Okay. Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah. I think you might have a little fuzzy Wi-Fi there, Don.
Yeah. It says unstable. We're good now. We're good now. All right. We'll just chop that up, but I'll restart the question. So, Chico, I know you mentioned, of course, you know, your entire journey, which has been, you know, so noteworthy, and you've had so many accomplishments so far. But going back to when you got to Murray State, I know a lot of people say they have maybe welcome to the NBA, welcome to, you know, blank moments. What was your welcome to college moment where you sat back and you're like, whoa, this is, you know, the transition was nice, like you mentioned, but this is a different ball game than high school.
I would say my eye-opening moment was, I would say the conditioning. That was really like the difference in like high school and college. Just like all the running, and I'm already tired from like weights, practice, waking up early and stuff like that. But like the conditioning was just like a harder transition for me. But I found out like in my second year there that it's all mental. It's just like, all right, I'm not going to dread running in conditioning and stuff like that. I'm just going to go in with a positive mindset. And I'm going to go ahead and knock this out, get it out the way and stuff like that. And that excel me through the conditioning. But I really feel like that was really my eye-opening moment for college.
No, I know I played tennis in college, so it wasn't quite as a physical sport, you know, a man-to-man sport like basketball, but I can definitely relate to that, right? Like the conditioning, it's a little bit different, the intensity. Guys are full-grown men that you're competing against. It ain't like kids, right? You're a senior bodying down kids, and it's a little bit different. I wanted to ask you, I mean, you've obviously been competing at a high level for a long time, transferred through smaller program, excelled there, now you're in a bigger program. So I know that you know about handling pressure. I know you've dealt with crowds. I want to ask you, you know, on behalf of, I guess, other college athletes and prospective college athletes, what do you think is the key to athletes reaching their peak potential, peak athletic performance in front of the away crowd and in the pressure moment? I mean, that's something that a lot of athletes kind of crumble under that pressure. So what do you think is the key for yourself and for athletes like you that under the biggest, you know, under the lights and the biggest stages can still reach that peak performance?
Right. I feel like it's all mental. Like, I feel like if you just rely on all the practices and all the film that you watch and don't get caught up in what people are saying or the music that's playing or the fans and stuff like that, but when you really lock in and rely on what you know and what's been drilled into your mind all season before, like preseason and stuff like that, and like, just lock in on what the coach is saying. That's really like the huddles could get hectic. So like you got the band playing, you got music playing, you got fans cheering and stuff like that. But if you really lock in and listen to what the coach is saying, you'll be good to execute under the lights.
Kind of staying on that, what's maybe a piece of advice that you've gotten at any level that's stuck with you, whether it be from a coach, player, even your dad, who I know you're really close with? Something that you think about during games, during practices, like where you mentioned, you know, it is mental, but thinking about a piece of advice, what sticks out to you?
Trusting the work. My dad always tell me to trust the work that I put in. The shots that I shoot in the gym when nobody's around, seeing it going through the net, I can see it going in the game. Like, just like And then when you work out, just don't work out on, like, have a purpose when you're working out. Like, shoot game shots. Shoot game, like, shots that you're going to get in the game. Like, don't go in the gym shooting three-pointers, half-court shots, like, fancy layups and stuff like that. But actually work on stuff that you're going to be able to execute in the game.
All right, so I have to ask you. I know we talked a lot about hoops, but getting verified on social media is not something that a lot of people can say that they've done. Do you remember that moment when you got verified on Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah, I do. It was actually crazy because I was like, when I transferred to South Carolina, my followers and likes and stuff was going up or whatever. I was like, our compliance lady was like, well, we gonna, most of our guys are verified, this and the third. So I was in my room. I was like, let me just try. Let me request a verification on Instagram. So I typed all the stuff in, all the information, and I sent it. And then I was like, all right, we're going to see if I get like an email or something that I got verified or whatever. And then my friend, Malik, that I mentioned earlier, he called me. He was like, were you verified on Instagram? I was like, what you mean? So then I refreshed my Instagram page. I'm like, oh. Like that. I mean, it's cool, you know, you got the blue check, it look nice, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely remember that moment. Yeah.
That's awesome. I guess going off of that too, I know Danny, we were talking about this earlier. NIL, when that happened, I mean, I feel like it was an avalanche of people just saying, you know, excited for this sponsorship or honored to be with this team. What are some of the NIL deals that you've gotten, and how cool is that for you now to make money, plain and simple?
Yeah. That was great. I feel like players should have been getting money out their name, original likeness, and stuff like that. But I got right now. I'm working with PSD Underwear. I got a sponsorship with them. Sour Strips Company. It's a candy company that I got to deal with right now. I did a camp recently, not too long ago, probably like a month ago, where I teamed up with Carolina Basketball. In the Columbia area and ran my own camp with them. I got one right now in the works with Hoop Brand. It's a brand out of Toronto, Canada. I'm going to be making some shirts and hoodies made and stuff like that. And then I got some other stuff in the works right now, nothing really official, but some small businesses in Columbia as well. That's another big thing, like me going to South Carolina, me being from Columbia, I got a little edge on people now. So, like, on the roster, we got people from, like, New York and Florida and stuff like that. I mean, they can get the deals, too, but, like, I'm a Columbia kid, so, you know.
Yeah, that checks works out both boxes.
Yeah, that works out in my favor for sure.
Danny, I'm sure you were you itch at the idea of having NIL, but now you're a retired athlete, so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I never had any follower count or any people watching me do what I do. So I don't know if any companies would have been knocking down my door anyway. But with NIL comes a whole lot more college athletes flaunting their fashion game, their sneaker collection. Yeah. And that was one of the things when Donnie told me we were getting you on. I said, all right, let me check our guy out, Chico. And the first thing I noticed on the IG, man, your collection is crazy. So on this podcast, we love to talk about sports. We love to talk about the fashion, the sneaker game, what's going on now. Yeah. So we had to ask you plenty now that we can talk a little more freely about it, right? Thanks, NIL. Yeah. That helps us out a little bit. But I got to ask your thoughts on the sneaker culture has changed, right, in the last few years. It used to be a lot about OGs and classics, and now it's a lot about the hype beast culture. And one thing that I think it's very polarizing, I want to get your take, is the new collaboration culture that's out now, right? There's so many collabs with musical artists going with brands and brands working with brands. And I mean, I know a shoe that just came out was the Sakai Clot Fragments. Like, it was the first time I'd seen three companies collabing. So what are your thoughts on that? Is it taking away kind of from OG culture, or is it maybe adding to it, giving a different layer to sneaker culture?
Yeah. I remember when I used to just go to the mall, you know, stand on the line at like 8 a.m., be able to get the shoe and then leave. But now you got to hit the sneakers app where you got to pay $1,000 for a pair of shoes on GOAT or StockX or whatever. But now I really think, like, I mean, I have my favorites with like the brand collabs like Off-White and Dunks. I like how they collab, like Supreme and Baby collab and some on some stuff. But I feel like the sneaker game is just like, hectic, bro. It's too hectic. Like, it's, and then you got like people with bots on sneakers app and stuff like that. I think I'm finna get a shoe. Your submission wasn't selected. I didn't delete it sneakers app like 5 times because like I'm not getting a shoe. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm done with sneakers app, you know? But I feel like, and then you got people for dunks that's like retail $100, $150 and they're reselling it for $400, $450. Like, bro, it's not even that serious. A pair of shoes. Like, you feel me? But yeah, I feel like, and then like the rappers collaborating with brands, stuff like that. I mean, I got a couple of like V-Long pieces that rappers in collab with like Pop Smoke and NBA Youngboy and stuff like that. But I feel like they're making their money, V-Long making their money. So everybody happy at the end of the day.
How many wins do you have on sneakers, if any?
On sneakers? Let me see. I probably got like 2, bro. I'll hit on some dunks. And then I think, yeah, I hit on those Lightning 4s too. Uh-huh. I hit on some dunks and those Lightning 4s. That's it. Everything else, it's over with.
Yeah. Well, that's 2 more than me. Danny, how many dubs do you have? We talked about this. We definitely
man,
have.
Man, funny, on sneakers, I got decent luck, man. I've gotten a few Kobe's. I got a pair of dunks. I got Sakai's on there. I've hit on sneakers more than I've probably hit in person, to be fair. Half the time I go in lines in person, they're sold out before I even get there. So yeah. At this point, sneakers
like 5 pair at one time.
Right? Yeah.
No, it's crazy. Hectic is a good word. Yeah, hectic is a good word.
For sure.
We see some of the collection peering from behind you. You can't hide it, man. What's your like weekly rotation like nowadays?
I ain't gonna lie. I wear Yeezy slides almost every day, bro. I wear those. Let me see. I like dunks. I got like 3-4 pair of dunks. I like those. But yeah, that's really it. I'd be too tired for no shoes, man. I just throw some slides.
Are the Yeezy slides worth the hype?
Yeah. For sure. I like them. I like them a lot. They're comfortable. They go with a lot of stuff. Like, you can really bust a fit with it if you wanted to, on some chill stuff, you know. I like them a lot. Yeah,
I see a lot of people wearing the Yeezy slides, and I'm always wondering, like, man, is the Yeezy slide worth that much? But I gotta be honest, like, at this point, Kanye's just taking some risks, man, now. Like, them foam runners, I see them in person. I'm polarizing on that one, you know what I'm saying? Something about Kanye that, I don't know, man. He takes more risks than most designers make. But real quick, I want to ask a few quick hitters, right? A few that I like to hear from people who are into the sneaker game. Quick hitters, don't have to explain it. I just want to hear your answers through a few quick ones, okay? First one. Jordan 1s or Jordan 4s?
Jordan 1s.
Okay. Now, Jordan 1s or Jordan 11s?
Jordan 11s.
Jordan 1s. I'm with you. Donnie, what do you think? 1s, 4s, or 11s? I got to get your thoughts on this, too.
I would say 1s. I think they're just so – I mean, I know you can do a high and a low for 1s and 11s, but 1s are just – they're timeless. Like, you can't not see a Jordan 1 and not think, wow, like, that looks good. Like, no matter the color, no matter the collab, I would say 1s, but – I mean, that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. What else you got, Danny?
Those Cool Gray 11s that's about to come out in December. Yeah, those are
yours.
Those are mine for sure.
Next quick hitter. This is for me. The answer is very easy, but I get a lot of different answers just because of the amount of different colorways. And that's Kobe's or Kyrie's.
Kobe's
to wear Danny, hold on. On the basketball court too.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I see a lot of people who love the Kyries on the court. A ton of people.
Nah, you gotta rock with the Kobe's.
I agree. I'm with you.
I hate to say it, Danny. That was a bad question. I think it's Kobe's easy.
I think you'd be surprised at how many people wear Kyries in college basketball. So they gotta be pretty good on court.
Okay.
Anyway, next. You basically already answered this before, but dunks or forces, and is it close?
Dunks, not even close.
What about you, Don? I know you're a force guy. I'm a force guy, but I would answer the same dunks. It ain't too close for me.
I wish we had like paid advertising for Nike because I'm about to do a quick little thing for them. The Flyknit Air Force One, those Crater ones, I just got a pair of those, and I promise you, and Chico, I'm a very – I don't know if you knew this, but you might just be able to guess. Danny knows. New Balance 574s, I wear those shoes at least Well, I mean, probably every day if I'm just like a beater shoe to throw on. So very, yeah. Very simple, like very dad style. But the Air Force Ones, these Flyknit ones that I have, yeah. Oh my gosh, they're the new beater. So I can't even say Forces or Dunks since I don't own any Dunks. If I could have my hands on a few, I'd probably think different, more like Chico. But as of right now, in terms of price, availability, and actual having them in my room, I'm gonna say Forces for now.
That's fair. I like that. Okay, next one. Classics or the new Hypebeast shoes? What do you want? Because I've seen your IG. You got a few of each. So I think this is a closer question.
The Hypebeast shoes got the colorways, though. Like, you know, like, they got the fly colorways, but, I mean, you can't go wrong with OG.
That's fair. Sure. Okay. Okay, so this is a debate me and Donnie have all the time. Are you leaning more towards, like, the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kyle Kuzma vibes? If you were on League Fits, right, if you were walking down the tunnel, is it that vibe? Or is it, like, the Giannis, Ja, Tech Fleas vibe? What are you leaning towards in the tunnel on the way to the game?
I don't know. I got a couple pair of Techs, but I like the, you know, the vintage look. I like that. I like that a lot. Game day, I might have to go Cozy, though. Cozy vibes.
I feel that. And the last one, which in my opinion is the hardest question. I think it's a tough question. Y'all might disagree, and I want to get your take too, Donnie. I want you to rank, and not the designer, right? Because this is like a tough one, but the shoes that they've put out between Kanye, Virgil, and Travis. So the Travis collab, the Off-Whites, or Yeezy. You got to rank them 1 to 3. It's a loaded question right now. You know, these guys might hear it now. That might
it's
be
all you, Chico.
NIL deal. So you got to be looking out here.
Ooh, I like Virgil for number one spot. I like Virgil number one, Travis number two, Kanye number three.
That is my exact three. I'm with you. That would be my exact three.
Yeah. Kanye put on some gel Yeezy slides, the orange one. That was a bust. The foam runner, whatever, those were busts.
The Crocs? The Yeezy Crocs?
I can buy some regular black Crocs, bro. And then, I'm going to lie, Travis got some heat. I ain't gonna lie, Travis do got some heat, but Virgil, he number one spot.
Yeah, sure. I can't really disagree. I mean, I would say it might be a little bit closer with Kanye and Travis just because I love the 350s. Like, if I could get a pair of those in every colorway, I would. But I don't know. I mean, I know you guys are more into the Hypebeast culture in terms of the shoes, but I like the classics, but I can't not put Virgil at one. Like Chico said, you can't not do that.
For sure.
Yeah, I think it's hard to not put Virgil at one simply because of what he's done before. Like, people think, like, oh, Virgil, that's the Off-White dude. Like, Virgil's doing crazy stuff outside of just those shoes, right? Like, he's probably, like, the king of design right now. Okay, the last two. Who are the guys, few of the guys, right, in the league, maybe they're in the NFL, NBA, that you kind of look at for a little bit of, like, maybe – their styles, one you like, maybe a little inspiration. I know for me, I can't talk about Jalen Green enough. Like, this dude with the vintage rock star denim with the vintage. Yeah. I'm so in on that. But who are maybe some of the guys that you look at and you're like, yeah, I like that?
Me and John, that's my man. So I got to go with him. He can switch it up. He got, you know, you put a tech piece on, then he can bring the chains out. You know, you can do a little bit of both. But I like Jalen Green style. Josh Christopher sometimes, but sometimes he can do a lot. Who else? Shake. I like Dwayne Bacon. Dwayne Bacon style. I like his style for real. He nice. And he support like small businesses and stuff like that. He don't wear just like designer stuff. Like he'll. If somebody send him a piece, he'll wear it and post it on Instagram, you know? So, yeah, I'll say Ja, Jalen Green, D-Bate. I got to go D-Bate before Jalen, but, you know.
But Ja takes the kick. Ja's the top of the heap.
Ja's one, for sure.
Yeah, Ja does have some versatility, man. On the court and off, man. You can't hate on anything Ja's wearing. You can't. I mean, he's getting smooth with it, you know? Yeah. The last one from me. And this one is tough, man. So I understand if you can't just give one, but it's a two-part question. Number one, if you could only wear one sneaker, right? So that means any event. That means a nice event. That means before a game, not in the game, because that kind of takes it away. But everything outside of the court, if you could only wear one, what would it be? And the second part, what is your all-time grail? Like, if you could get your hands on one that's, like, tough to touch, what would be the one right now? If you could get gifted by, you know, Virgil himself or, you know, Tinker himself, what would be the shoe?
Shoe, I would say, like, a Bread One. I'll say, like, a Bread One or, like, any – you said one, two. It would have to be a Jordan One, cause I could go out in a Jordan One. I could pull to a game in Jordan One. You know, it's versatility. And then a Grail. I always wanted a Supreme to North Face right here, like the Supreme X North Face right here.
You know, that was always, that's a good answer.
Yeah, I always wanted one of those. So I'm gonna have to wait my turn on that one, though.
Okay.
For sure.
I like that. We mentioned Ja, and for those that don't know the relationship you have with him, how did you guys first interact, and what's the interaction like nowadays? Do you get to talk to him every now and then? You were out in Utah, right? For Memphis, Utah during the playoffs?
Yeah, I was. That was a good experience.
But no, to say the least.
My dad and his dad, like, hometowns are like 20, 25 minutes apart. And they knew each other back in the day. From like, Dodd's dad went to Voorhees and my dad went to Mars College. So like, those are two like close schools. So they know each other from then. And then in high school, dad used to come to my games and stuff like that, put a little bug in my ear, like, you know where you're going, right? And I was like, stuff like that. And then unfortunately he left before I could get there at Murray State, but we talk almost, we got a group or whatever, shout out NBNO, man, that's the guys. We got a group and we talk every day in the group chat for sure, but one-on-one I hit him up if I need some, like, some pointers on some things, if I need some film, stuff like that, man. Yeah, that's my guy for sure.
You got to tell us about Utah, though, going out there. How was that for that playoff game?
That was a different experience. Utah, that was my first time going out there, so that was new. The city, Salt Lake City, it's a nice city. It's not too big, not too small, but they love basketball. They live, breathe basketball because, like, that's the only, like, NBA, major basketball, sport that they have out there. So the game was packed. I think John had like 47 the second game, something like that, something crazy. They won the first game. And then Donovan Mitchell came back the second game. He's a complete problem. So, but I was proud of him. He made it to the playoffs in the playing game, beat Curry, and then made it to the playoffs, got him a win in the playoffs in his second year. So we're gonna see what year three got.
I was going to buy stock in Ja. I'd literally say that we did an episode a few weeks ago about all breakout team. I believe Ja was my point guard because I love watching him play and always a fun time. But I know Danny had one more thing, and then I'm going to close with a question after him.
All right, cool.
Yeah, Chico, man, thanks again for coming on, man. We appreciate the time. My last question is one that I like to ask, every college athlete, professional athlete that we've talked to, and that's, if you could give one piece of advice to young athletes out there, athletes who want to go play college ball, maybe not, athletes who in some sports are going to immediately go professional, right? But in basketball, obviously, it's typically the way, and I think you have to go to college now or go to the development league, right? What's maybe one piece of advice you'd give to young athletes in terms of trying to reach the goals that they've set for themselves?
I would say be consistent. Be consistent in everything that you do, man. When you go to the gym, be consistent. Don't take 2-3 days off. Go to the gym every day. Like my dad always told me, it's like, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. It's people in Texas, people in Cali, it's people in Florida, New York, like Georgia. Like, it's always somebody working. And a percentage of you making it is so small, you got to be different. You got to be consistent. You got to be different from everybody else, bro. And that's really all that I would tell them. Be consistent and be different.
Love that. I want to ask you kind of a two-part question, but one, what are we going to see from the South Carolina Gamecocks this year? Because not that I'm a Carolina fan, but like you mentioned, being that I'm from Lexington, being that it's right there, I definitely want to come out and catch a few games. But talk to me about what people are going to see this year from you guys, because it's going to be a fun group. You and then James Reese coming back, another Columbia guy. That's so exciting.
You're going to see a lot of new faces for sure. We got, I want to say, 9 new faces on the team, and we're ready to go. I feel like we brought a brand new energy to the program. I feel like we got some experience. James Reese is one that every school that he's been to the tournament. Eric Stevenson from Washington, great shooter. We got athletic wings. We got bigs. We got every piece that we need to make a run at the SEC championship and then on to the NCAA tournament. But I feel like you're going to see a lot of energy, a lot of defense playing for Frank Martin. You got to sit down on defense. You got to sit down on defense and then get out and run. I feel like our chances are high this year. I like it.
I love that. Last one. For those that follow college basketball, they know how much of a character Frank Martin is. What's your favorite interaction with him so far, if you have one?
Favorite interaction with Frank? Practice. Every day, consistent energy, consistent, hard-nosed, tough guy. You know what you're going to get from Frank Martin at practice. And that's just, it is what it is. And I love playing for him, and I can't wait to see what we do this season.
Man, I'm excited, Chico. It's going to be a fun year, man. But thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on. We really appreciate it. And we're going to try and come out to Columbia. I'm going to drag Danny down south, and we're going to come out to a few games.
Let's do it.
Good to talk to you, man, as always. Thanks again for coming on. We'll talk soon.